Speakers, we ask that you please take a moment before we begin to silence and put away your cell phones and other electronic devices. Thank you. My name is Katie and I'm an alcoholic. This is an open meeting of the Beacon Group of Alcoholics Anonymous and all are welcome to attend. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting, declining outside contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The Beacon Group insists on providing a safe and effective meeting place so all who wish to may recover from alcoholism. Therefore, we ask all attendees to foster a secure and welcoming environment, refraining from any behavior that may compromise another's safety. As our traditions remind us, our common welfare is paramount. Each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is but a small part of a great whole. For more information about safety in AA, see the AA safety card and safety in AA, our common welfare. Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Derek will read the steps.
I'm Derek, alcoholic addict.
So
the steps. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact natures of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of characters. Seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs.
Thank you, Derek. Tonight is anniversary night, and as such, we will be honoring our celebrants at the start of the meeting. Tonight, we have two celebrants. Would the celebrants please join me? Month to recognize group members as they mark milestones in their sobriety. It is our belief that pausing in gratitude for these milestones provides hope and inspiration and also fosters love and support for one another. We do ask everyone to keep in mind the number of celebrants and the end time of the meeting. It is the group's conscience that celebrants try to limit their shares to a minute or so. And now please join me in singing. Happy anniversary to you.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, dear celebrants. Happy anniversary to you.
All right, and we're lucky to have two celebrants with the same amount of years tonight, which is awesome. Our first celebrant is Jenny with 3 years.
Hi everyone, Jenny, alcoholic.
Hi Jenny.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, grateful to today to be sober. Beacon Group has been my home group since, you know, 2020, at the start of the pandemic when I first started coming around. So I'm really grateful, you know, for the people that I've met here and the people I've met in the program. I definitely can say that this program has transformed my life for the better. And, you know, if you're new, just try out different meetings. You know, if one doesn't seem like a good fit, just keep trying meetings, getting involved, meeting people, and just keep coming. Thank you.
All right, and our next celebrant is Mickey with 3 years.
Hey everyone, Nikki Alcoholic.
Hi, Nikki.
Yeah, super cool to be here. I just want to thank everyone in this room. Megan, my sponsor. This is also my home group for the last 3 years. I came in during COVID, and I was thinking to myself that when I came in here, I was on the bathroom floor with a pillow because I couldn't figure out how to walk from my bedroom to the bathroom to throw up. And I have not found myself in the bathroom with a pillow since that day. And that's really cool. So it works. So yeah, that's all I have. Thank you so much.
Congratulations to you both. Because of tonight's celebration, the format of tonight's meeting is only one 10-minute speaker, followed by our main speaker, who will speak for 30 minutes. All of our meetings are recorded and accessible on our website, beacongroupaa.com. We support AA statements of unity and anonymity, and therefore ask all of our speakers to identify by first name only and to refrain from using profanity. Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Jenny. Yeah.
Hi everyone, Jenny, so an alcoholic. Let's see, my sober date is April 1st, 2020. I have a sponsor. I've worked the 12 steps, probably working them for the second time soon, which I'm really looking forward to. Yeah, I kind of just say that because that's, you know, what's really worked for me these last 3 years. Combination of those three things, just really getting involved. And I do have to say that I think over, you know, the past 3 years, what I've done in the program has kind of fluctuated a bit, but I can definitely attest that the more involved I am and the more that I do in the program, the better I feel. That just keeps me not only sober, but also, you know, spiritually fit. So this program really is miraculous if you do work it. My life is completely different than when I came into the program back in April of 2020, which I'll kind of get to in a little bit. It's, you know, it's been a whirlwind. I would have to say when I first, well, I'll backtrack a little bit. I come from like a pretty amazing family. I have one sister who I'm really close with, two amazing parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles. We're all, you know, pretty close. Had a great childhood, played sports, was a pretty academic student, got good grades. But when I was young, I think I always dealt with, well, now I know what is, you know, restless, irritable, and discontent. I have the words now in the vocabulary to kind of describe what that was like. But essentially, I was always, you know, uncomfortable in my own skin. And when I was 14, that's when I first discovered alcohol. I hung out as a freshman in high school and was hanging out with the seniors on the soccer team, and they just introduced me. And, you know, since the get-go, I realized like alcohol was miraculous for me. It really, you know, got me out of my skin. It made me more social. It made me funny. So I just, yeah, took off with that. I don't remember what I drank the first night, but I do remember blacking out and causing a total scene, and not much change. Like, I would just say, like, throughout, you know, high school and well into college, like, that's kind of what happened. I just would just drink and do ridiculous things. And it really, I think, escalated. Well, just, like, continuously, you know, it's a progressive disease, obviously, and it just continuously got worse. And there was really, you know, I did have consequences. I got into a car crash that was really, it was really scary. Parents showed up and, you know, to the scene. I remember And I was under the influence for sure, totally drunk, and my parents thought like that I wasn't walking away from that. It was really frightening to see. In college also, you know, discovered other types of substances and kind of was always trying to find like the perfect combination, the perfect cocktail. So like maybe stimulants and then alcohol and, you know, some downers and just always messing, you know, kind of playing pharmacist and kind of just trying to figure out the best solution. Just anything to not, you know, be sober and be who I am and not having to deal with, you know, any sort of emotion, whether positive or negative. It's just I wanted to not be feeling anything, really. To fast forward a little bit, you know, continued well into my 30s. It got really, problematic. I mean, it's always been problematic, but I would say, you know, in the pandemic, it was hard on everyone, but that's really where my alcoholism thrived. I was home, you know, by myself. My roommate was never home at the time. I was unemployed because I couldn't, you know, deal with the job. I was just unemployable, you know. I was drinking in pajamas at 8 a.m., vodka or wine or whatever, you know, just living the life, you know, so happy. Ended up multiple times in the ED with seizures. And that didn't even shake me. Like, I continued and continued to the point that I think the biggest breaking point for me was just I was sick and tired, honestly, of feeling, like, terribly 24/7, honestly. Oh, I forgot. Mickey wanted me to share this story. I don't know. It's okay. You better laugh. So basically, what I guess to highlight how bad it was, I was really trying, I think, for a while there to give up just drinking, right? And I was like, okay, I'll give up just alcohol for a little bit and see how that goes. And I really wanted to prove to my therapist that I could do that because she kept saying, like, you know, I think you have alcohol issues. And I was like, I don't know, you know? And so I was able to get, I think it was like 5 months without alcohol, but then I was, you know, back to the other substances. So just messing around with, like, different issues. And you know what ended up happening for me is at a certain point I was like, well, I'm just gonna drink again. So right after a therapy appointment at like noon in the middle of a weekday, because again I'm not employed, I head to this like random bar in Alston, and I hadn't drank in 5 months, and I asked the bartender, I was like, because it was kind of like a beer place, it wasn't really like a cocktail type place, so I was like, can you just give me like the strongest beer that you have, right? And it was like 17.5% alcohol or something like that. And I remember drinking, I think it was like 1.5. Like I can clearly remember drinking the 1.5, but my bill was like $60 the next day, right? So when I got up from the bar and like went to leave the door, you know, I fell flat on my face and I knocked out my two front teeth. Mickey just loves this story. She like, I don't know. So yeah, fall flat on my face, right? And I have no idea what's going on. The bartender was basically like, yo, your teeth are like somewhere. So I'm like sprawled out on the floor like, where are my teeth? So yeah, she loves that. Same reaction every time whenever I say it. But anyway, so yeah, that still didn't, you know, even, and so that happened, right? And even that night, like I remember one of my neighbors who I'm like really good friends with, he calls me and he had this like weird feeling. He's like, can I come over? Like, I just had like a weird vibe. I'm like, yeah, sure. So he comes over, I'm toothless, and decide it's great to just pop open a bottle of wine, continue drinking. And like, obviously, like I don't feel anything at that point, but the next morning, yeah, my nerves were exposed, right? Because my teeth were out. So I was just like in the worst pain imaginable. Also FaceTimed my therapist at like 9 p.m. Yeah, so it's just, anyway, I won't continue with that. She asked me specifically to share that story. So at that point, that was kind of, I think my therapist, or I had spoken with, then I think it was like a month later, it was my 30th birthday, and my mom was kind of like, you know, I'm concerned about your drinking. I'd FaceTime with her a little bit when I was really under the influence, and she had suggested, you know, hopping on like a family therapy session, and the therapist was like, I think, you know, maybe give AA a shot. And I was like, ugh, Okay, but I was like honestly just sick and tired of just feeling that way. So I kind of agreed. I don't not remember a lot of like the beginning stages. I just remember always going, you know, on rants, and people often remind me of how I was in the beginning. Miserable, saying I didn't belong here, like it's a you issue, it's not me. I just have a problem with pills, I'm fine, like things like that. And you know, nothing was changing. I was just going to meetings every once in a while, and I wasn't feeling great. And you know, the woman who's now my sponsor was like, well, yeah, like you should probably ask someone to be your sponsor and maybe start working the steps and start doing the work. And I was like, fine. And I ended up asking her, and she's been my sponsor the whole 3 years. She's great, love her. And yeah, I would say I went through the steps, you know, pretty quickly. I think, you know, step one specifically was like pretty easy for me to realize, yeah, my life was chaos essentially. And I remember taking that step one and being like, okay, this is like a college paper. Like I just like wrote out this insane amount of how chaotic my, oh wow. Thought I was gonna have a harder time, thank you. So yeah, so basically what I did, you know, was come to meetings, you know, raise my hand, even if you're, you know, not sure what's going to come out of your mouth. I'm pretty sure all my shares, and sometimes to this day too, are kind of like all over the place and kind of unhinged, but that's okay. You know, you kind of chat, kind of force myself a little bit into the fellowship, kind of staying on Zoom meetings and chatting with people after, you know, changing or exchanging numbers with other women in the program and really getting to know other people and connecting. And I think one of the biggest things in the beginning that was important for me to hear was, you know, really focus, you know, the details of everyone's story might be a little bit different, but if you pay attention to the similarities, you'll take a lot more away from people's share. So I think, you know, that's important because we're all different experiences, all different backgrounds, but I think, you know, there's a lot of commonalities in alcoholism. So when you focus on that, it's a little bit easier to connect, I think. And other than that, yeah, just get to meetings, you know, get a sponsor, you know, try to work the steps with said sponsor, and yeah, be of service, you know, to the next person. And that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny.